Our daughter Kayla, last year when she was in the hospital, as part of the treatment for her illness, she suffered a thrombosis in her leg. The worst case scenario was that she'd lose it, but she didn't. As you know, she not only survived, which was amazing, but she seems to have recovered completely. She was born on Christmas, so. I'm putting this on the tree. The last year has been really amazing, so I'm putting it on the tree, not as a sign of illness, but of healing and of recovery and reconciliation.
Mike, can you repeat what the kids say?
I will try that. Symbol of laughter and getting old. This is a reminder of making Christmas cookies. It's something real special. It's a little front end loader. That's right.
Last summer, our family went to Camp Unistar in Star Lake, and, Star Island on Cass Lake, and I know a number of Prairie people have been there. And we had a very enjoyable time, very relaxing, both physically and mentally. We met a lot of wonderful people, and we had a week-long experience in rituals, something that really opened my mind to the value of rituals.
That my daughter gave me a few years ago, and I keep it hanging over I have a lamp on my desk, and I keep it there so that when I'm working on all these serious things like bills or work projects or whatever, that I remember the lighter side, the fantasy and laughter.
I'm not a member here. My name is Anne Fleming, and this is kind of my anniversary of affiliation with Prairie. I've been coming here for about a year today. So this is a very special day for me. This has been a real important place for me in the last year as I kind of put together a number of pieces of my life. I work for the Institutional Catholic Church and have some real issues around that and real struggles. And this year has been a real growing year for me as I explore my own spirituality and kind of reclaim the various pieces of myself and get a little more whole. This is a gift that Frank gave me a couple of years ago when I really began the struggle. It's called The Angel Who Forgot. And it's about an angel who got rid of all of his memories by dropping them in the bottom of a pond and then forgot that he was an angel and could fly and could do very miraculous things and needed the help of some real important friends to find those memories at the bottom of the Crystal Lake and become himself again and become whole. And so I put it on the tree as a real symbol of growth in the last year and as a thank you for being part of that. I'll try to.
This is from my sister Lillian, who wasn't with us last Christmas, but she's here from Hong Kong this year for Christmas.
There's a play though for three plays. The story goes is that I heard that the country theater was doing this in the summer. And on impulse, I called up my uncle. He brought the tickets for us. And it was also the last time I saw my wife.
What I'd like to share today is a Christmas card that I received from Ann Fleming, actually, this year. And I would like to read it in honor of Chuck Sloan, who is my sister's father-in-law, who died this week. And he will be a tremendous loss to our family because he's a loss to my sister. Each year at about this time, we frantically prepare to take a few moments out. And depending on who we are, we thank the sun as she turns to begin her long journey back. Or we remember the oil that lit the temple lights for 8 nights on end. Or we recall the coming of the simple carpenter turned preacher with a message of love and justice. Or we simply rejoice in the turn of a new year. Each year at about this time, we pause in the midst of a bustle that often leaves us anything but peaceful, and we cheerfully wish each other peace on earth. And depending on what decade or year it is, our earth is grievously less peaceful than we should want, yet more at peace than we might ever dare to expect. This year, let us pause a little longer than we might usually at this time of year. Let us remember not only the soldiers in the Gulf, nor the death toll in Northern Ireland, nor the repression in Central America, but also the wall that no longer stands in Berlin. Let us remember not only those among us who are still hungry, cold, sick, or lonely, but also all of those whose lives are touched by each year our small collected efforts. Maybe this year we have been so touched. Each year at about this time, we cry for what is not yet, but let us also share our joy and be thankful for what is. Let us remember both the struggle and the party. Let us resolve to keep doing what we can where we are. And let us give thanks that we are together each year at about this time. Dona nobis pacem.
I'm going to put one of my books on the tree. Most of you know I've spent the last year really making lots of books and finishing my degree. And my books were in an exhibition as the end of my degree process. I chose this particular book because it was really helpful, or the writing and producing of it was really helpful in healing from a difficult time.
Submitted a writing sample and got accepted into creative writing program. So I've been writing fiction for a little over a year now. And I found what I want to do. And coming to Prairie has been sort of like an extended family for me. Something really odd happened this week, and wonderful. I haven't spoken to my mother for about 4.5 years. And her name is Jan. And I have a brother in Seattle named Jeff. Well, I got a little slip in the mailbox to pick up a package, so I went to the post office and it said Jay Lovern. And I just threw it in the back seat and said, oh, it's a package from America for my brother. Well, I hadn't even bothered to check the address and had opened it and realized after reading this card addressed to my daughter to say, I think your mother would like some of these things. Oh my God, it's from my mother. And what's strange is that we kind of both decided to try to bridge this gulf. I think around the 10th of the month, I finally wrote a card to her saying, well, to both of them, I have spoken to my father for these last 20 years, but he said, if it's all right with you, I'm planning to call you on December 24th. And I didn't want to get set up for anything unpleasant, so I said, if you'd rather I didn't, just let me know. But if I don't hear from you, I'll take that to mean that I'm going to call you. And so we both, probably about on the same day, decided to do this. It was postmarked, I think, 13th. So Meredith and I are spending Christmas together. I'm divorced, don't have her every year. So this year we're together, and even though I won't be with my family, we're reestablishing contact. Prairie has been really kind of extended family to me, so I think the things are starting to come together.
Alice is hanging a small pair of boots on the Christmas tree. These boots are made for walking. I'd like them to be symbolic of all the people, the university students, children, and older people who have walked several times this past year to try and persuade our government to find a peaceful way to settle this controversy in the Persian Gulf.
And the 510 links represent how many days it is till I get my master's degree and until I move from Wisconsin. And I got to thinking this morning, I mean, that's positive, but on the flip side is how much I'll miss Prairie and how much I'm going to miss my car mechanic.
Something a few minutes ago about thinking about celebrations in other cultures. About 4 years ago, Dovita Chaput did a brief but gem-like ministry for Prairie on Hidden Corners of Madison. And one of the Hidden Corners of Madison that she mentioned was the Latino community. And directly because of that ministry, I got acquainted with the person that she had brought that day, the Thomas of San Luis Obispo. And I got acquainted with that community over a period of time. And 2 weeks ago Saturday, I went to something I had never attended before, a very, very, maybe sometimes the most important celebration for the year for many Latin Americans. It's the celebration of the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which normally falls on the 12th of December. This took place on the 8th, and as Rachel will know, we sang that night. So there was I at 5 o'clock in the evening in a full-length black gown standing on top of the last pew at Holy Redeemer Church with a camera, feeling really freaked out. And the celebration was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. When you're outside the church, you had no idea this was going on in Madison. And when you were inside the church, it was a totally different world. The children in traditional costume, the statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe being brought in on a sort of a door by the men of the congregation, and four celebrants, including the bishop of the diocese. The mass was in Spanish. There was music of all kinds, from the Schubert Ave Maria to mariachi band to Aztec dancers, half clothed and clothed and in feathers, carrying pots of fire like 5,000 years ago. It was absolutely mind-bending. And then at 20 after 7, since I was long overdue, I went out, walked the half a block to the Civic Center, and changed my shoes and combed my hair and sang a traditional Messiah to a white middle-class audience. By 1 o'clock that morning, I was absolutely out of my mind. I was so culturally syncretic and so just found out. Inside the door of Holy Redeemer, which was used for this celebration, which normally would have taken place at the Guadalupe Center, which is too small for such a large community, they were selling these flowers, which were made by Latinas of the parish. I think they're made of napkins. They're maybe made Kleenex carnations along this line. And they, I could not say for this, but people were taking them up and presenting them to the, before the statue of Our Lady. I would dearly have loved a picture, but I was already late. So this is in commemoration of other festivals for other cultures right here in our own city that we have absolutely no idea are taking place and that are as important to them as what we're doing here today is to us. And I'm glad I learned that. I could have gone my whole life without knowing.
I have a ring that was a Christmas present to me in 1967. And after we came to Madison, 1977, the ring was lost, and I assumed that it had come off in the winter when I'd taken off my gloves and I went back to the place that I went for it and advertised for it. Completely disappeared. In fact, was replaced. About 10 years after that, Alan was repairing that dryer. And this ring resurfaced. And I wore it for about 3 more years. That chapter's come to an end, and I'm returning the ring to Christmas and listening to what Mike said about the sun coming back and looking forward to the next chapter.
Frederica talked about the wall. I have a piece of the wall to put on the tree today, thanks to Terry and Tony, who are members of Prairie's extended family, who are now in Germany. And it just represents a lot to us. First of all, they sent it after being at the wall and helping to assemble the wall in Berlin. I remember distinctly when the wall was built, I was in Sweden and watching on television as this wall was being built. And it was a very disconcerting kind of thing to happen. We were away as a young person overseas. But it just sort of, to me, represents so much in terms of the world and how close we are to people around the world and how barriers are being broken down and how we hope that they will continue to be broken down. When the kids were at language camps this summer, the theme for the summer was Without Walls.
We had a second generation from my Swedish family soon, right after that, came to be with us again. And so it's just such an interesting world we live in.
I have two things. One very quickly from this morning's paper. I'm really proud that the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations is one of four denominations joining in a statement of support for the Crizan family. And the other one is really a request to you. One of the organizations that Eileen and I have decided to send some money off to is the Midwest Committee for Military Counseling. And this is really a time when they are needed. They're an extremely unique organization in providing counseling both to people who are considering conscientious objection and to those who are in the military and are having difficulty with being in that role. And so this is an important time. And can somebody answer a question for me? What are they doing with the sewage from all those 400,000 people that we've had?
Running up to a sand filter. This, as most of you can see it clearly, you know, is a Mobius strip. It's a very simple thing. Any child can make one. But to me, it symbolizes not only simplicity, but mystery. Why mystery? Because it's the only thing that has only one edge and only one side. You try to take it apart to figure it out, it isn't anymore. Analysis destroys it, but it is just the same. I think mystery is a really important part of all of our lives, and it symbolizes that for me, but it symbolizes another thing as well. A Mobius strip is the first symbol that I ever put on a prairie symbol. I think that things should go not in a circle, but in a spiral. And perhaps this marks the beginning of the next move in the spiral.
A sculptor named Rodin, French sculptor, did a very famous sculpture called The Thinker. And I made a little model of The Thinker. And here he is. Additionally, most of you know that in 1987 I had sudden and totally unexpected surgery for a brain tumor that I had for a long time. It took 4.5 years to completely get over. My thinker works.
In all honesty, I didn't really bring anything from home, but as I was sitting there making music, it occurred to me that I do want to put something on this tree. And one is the sheet music on the Peregrination that we just played, and I realized how happy it makes me after such a long time to play with the Martin Buber group. And that is a wonderful thing. And in connection with that, on the back of it, I just drew a picture of, I think it's David Scott Lester, the big surprise of years, the birth of my second grandson, which is so new that I don't even have a picture yet. And it has to do with music too, because this is the son of my son, my wayward son, who is a very gifted musician and who already told me on the phone he was going to do a lot of music playing for his David Scott. So here's the music and the latest second grandson.
Actually, I think it's kind of strange that Rosemary's the first one to do this on the fly, because we usually have more of that. Like business cards get up there and bring in their wallets and see what they can come up with, which is fine. You know, it's very prairie-like. I have two pictures here. The first is a picture of a newborn,
And this was the third generation in my family. My niece had a baby in May, and we unfortunately don't get to see her a lot because they're in Michigan, but we'll see them for Christmas. So that is a very joyous addition to my life. And the other is a picture of a Cambodian teenage mother that I've been working with for several months now. And that is also a good thing, but it also is difficult because she has a real hard time in life, which is good for me to realize because it's nice to be reminded that how easy it is for some people and how difficult it is for other people, and then keeps us more grounded.
This is a little clay figure of a mother and child, and it comes from Chiapas, Mexico. We were in the tiny town of Cholula in Chiapas last January, and followed about by a very desperate child, very ragged, trying to sell us these. And we were having a wonderful time in Chiapas, Mexico, seeing Mayan ruins and going to the San Sebastian festivals. And this reminds me of the very desperate condition of Mexico, the many homeless and hungry people.
I, of course, forgot something like I do every year. This fall, I went away to school and was away from Prairie for the first time since I can remember. And it was really strange. I just, going away made me realize how much I appreciate Prairie and how much I missed it. And people, you know, and I joined the Unitarian group there, and people asked me what Unitarianism was, and I'd be like, you know, not really sure. Talk about whatever we feel like, and it's really fun. And I don't know, I just really miss it. And so every time I come back, I always come back to Prairie. And it's really nice. So Prairie just reminds me that there's more to life than studying and stuff like that, and just celebrating life and joy and singing. So here's a songbook.
As you know, Ruth and I are very fond of folk music, especially international folk music. So here's a little doll from Ecuador showing a peasant, the campesino, playing a set of panpipes. See you.
Seems like every year's a year of change, but there's some things that I like to think of as enduring. What I have here is a car key to my new car. I said last week that I had an accident in the maroon Subaru. It's basically been Dick's car, so the upshot of the whole thing was is it's getting fixed, and he's going to drive it and trade it in the van. And I got another little Subaru. That's kind of reflecting. We were out last night. One of my family's Christmas traditions when I was a child is that on Christmas Eve, we would all get in the car and drive through the community that my grandmother lived in to see the lights, you know, the Christmas lights on people's houses, and how nice that was. And when we'd come home, we'd come in the door, and I would hear these bells, and somehow Santa had just slipped out the other door. All these presents. So last night, we took the little car, and we took Jeff and his girlfriend, and we went out to see the lights at Warner Park, which the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers and another group have put up as kind of a gift to people to see. They're there. There's a self-guided tour, and it's kind of nice to go out and see those. So we did that for our Christmas traditions. The other thing this is attached to is a ring of sorts. I can't get my rings off. But this is a special time of year for Dick and I. We got married December 28th, 30 years ago this year.
Ooh. Oh. Congratulations.
I think it's going to work.
Well, 12 years ago, for the very first symbol tree that I ever participated at Prairie, I hung up this
little ornament that I made, which symbolized at that time that I was building a house, which was supposed to be for Casey and I, but expanded to hold a great deal more family than that. Well, now, 12 years later, she's just purchased her first house.
Oh,
so we're spiraling upwards.
This is a picture taken on our patio on December 3rd, symbolizing milestones of this past year. Most of you know I have three sons. The oldest, on his 15th birthday, was an eighth of an inch taller than me. By then, Misha, the 12-year-old, was taller than Barb. And this picture shows that Ian is big enough to walk in his dad's shoes, in this case, two full-size snowshoes, which come with us from Canada. And here, with the help of some snow, he's showing that he's also taller than his mom.
Well, last year I hung on the symbol tree a card that I had gotten from two friends of mine in Minneapolis and told you that I didn't think I would be receiving that same kind of card this year, and it's true because in March, one of the two people that made that card, Marg Weaver, died, and so I'm not hanging a card like that this year. But something that I have been doing for the last year is going to school full-time in elementary education. I used to be a high school teacher. Now I'm going to go back and work with the littler kids. And one of the things we do in elementary education is we reuse things, and we teach science by using what's around. One of the things we've gotten into is called eco-bottles. Take pop bottles and you make any kind of scientific experiment you can using them. And this is part of one, but it kind of looks like an ornament too. So I'm putting it on the tree to symbolize getting into a profession again that I really enjoy and that I hope I will enjoy with kids.
Tell us what the experiment is.
Well, this says chimney on it. It was part of a solar house that I made out of pop bottles.
Bracketed between Mary and Jack, I feel like the past and present prairie presidents on parade, you know? And prairie's got a lot of meaning to me, and there haven't been a lot of Christmases that I've been here, however. Last year was real special because I had a whole family to bring here, and that was real fun, and they can't be with me today, unfortunately. But I was real pleased to see so many people because last year I think our three children were the only three children here. We have so many, it's really great. A few things I have to say here. One is I still miss our lost friend Dorothy Weatherby, and I regret that she didn't stick around to see the sun circle again and start up. And I miss her. I really enjoyed the last two programs on stories, and I know Jennifer and I are planning to explore that some more ourselves. Dave and Marcia always bring us such a nice tree, and I was missing them this year, and so I cut this thing off of my farm. It's not so grand as the ones that they've presented, so I'm looking forward to when they get back here. I got word recently that sort of my longest friend has got HIV, and I'm real worried about him right now, and that's made me a little bit emotional this year, and I hope to see him during the holiday season here. And finally, Jennifer and I are going ahead with our plans to have Christmas dinner about 4 o'clock on Christmas Day, and right now it's likely to be a small group, but if there are the two of us, we'll be going ahead. But if there are other people that don't have a place to go or are interested in eating about 4 o'clock, I'd be interested in hearing from you after the program here today. And then finally, when Mechie said that she was ill 4 years ago, you know, I went into the hospital right after that happened, and I didn't have much time. I was leaving town or something. But I decided I'd give her a test, and I said, what's black and white and red all over? She said, a newspaper. I said, what's got 18 wheels and flies? And she said, a garbage truck. I said, well, you'll be better.
You probably all remember the story of the emperor and new clothes. New clothes that no one could see. This is a picture. It's a picture that right now is on my desk at home because you got your brain.
Well, they were made of the very finest cloth.
It's a symbol, really, of continuity in life. Because in it is a picture of our children, three of the four children, fellow grandchildren, and Betty and myself from our anniversary, our wedding anniversary, our 50th one in August that we had here. And so sometime, just imagine now, I'm putting it right on.
Well, it turns out that the symbol I should have brought this morning was jumper cables. Better late than never, we just got here, so I hope I'm doing the right thing and getting in line with my doing, but we had carefully put things aside this morning, and Dean had baked gingerbread, and we went out and got in the car and said, uh-oh. So AAA just got here. And here we go. My shy family refuses to go up, so I've got a couple symbols. I brought a little bicycle that Dean brought me back from his first out-of-state 100-mile ride, and it's also representing Eric and Dean's new hobby, which is riding a tandem bike that we got. They went 48 miles on one of their first runs, and they're going to some rallies this spring with COWS, which is Couples on Wheels. Apparently they get as many as 1,000 tandem bikes. I'd love to see all of them. In looking back on this year, I certainly remember very fondly my lay ministry in the spring, which was a very enjoyable experience for me, and I encourage you all to try it sometime. And one of my programs was on music. And in looking back over the year, I decided to hang a King Singers cassette, because one of the highlights for us was having the King Singers come to Madison in April and come visit us at our house. And then we went and stayed with some of them in England in August. And then we went and saw them again in November up in Minneapolis. So their Christmas cassette. Katrina brought something that's actually from one of the King Singer's daughters, who's her age. It's from England, and she just got it as a Christmas gift. It's a little sachet with a K on it for her. Katrina started having a pen pal before she could write, so none of you have a good excuse for not writing. We've also gotten three letters from different people's stationed in Saudi Arabia, because we sent things just to any service person. We heard from two women and a man. And for all of our new friends and non-friends yet in Saudi Arabia, we hang this wish for peace.
Did you buy that for Larry?
No. At the Bowen, the
I'm not sure if you guys are going right. Anyway, it says on the back of it, I think I may have the battery in the wrong way. From Faith Craft to Amos to Prairie. For this is a time that is not a time, in a place that is not a place, on a day that is not a day, and I am here, blessed be. Apparently, I spelled the lack of a clock. We don't. Now we have one. Maybe I try this battery the other way around. Later. Dad's going to play a couple more? I'm sorry.
I paid off these last week and stored them on the tree to go where the boat came. So there's one there. And this is a symbol for doing the best with what you have. You've been using all kinds of materials and talents and skills to help change the little corner of where you are.
Thank you. Okay, any questions? Here we are again. Season of the year, when it was slightly further north, we would be wondering if it was ever going to get light again. As it is, the days here are short, and the days are certainly cold. In the hope and in the knowledge that things are going to get better, I light the chalice. Most everybody have a candle? Did they bring one? Is anybody without candle lighting? Okay. There are a few extra. And one by one. Well, why don't we start with this circle here, sort of. Bring your candle up and light it and take it back to your seat. When everybody has a candle lighted, Norma will tell you what to do. Because I'm going to be busy doing something else.
I just follow me.
Just follow Norma. Do what Norma does when everybody has a candle lighted. Wait now.
Whether or not the Madison Metropolitan School District should allow, quotes, religious celebrations or celebrations of Christmas. And I just want to remind us that Christmas, should we say the solstice celebration, did not originate with Christianity. It's at least 3,000 or 4,000 years older than that, and probably a lot more. Just think for a moment of Stonehenge. Most of you have heard of Stonehenge, with those great big pillars of stone up in southern England twice a year. The longest day and the shortest day of the year. The sun lines up so that it comes precisely through the central alley and falls onto the altar, or what we think of as being the altar, we don't really know. And Stonehenge is at least 5,000 years old. So human beings, at least in Western Europe, have been celebrating the end of the year, the shortest day of the year, and then the beginning of the lengthening of the days for thousands of years. And Christianity has only been around for less than 2,000 years. And today we've added that and molded that into our solstice celebrations. So we have the story of a little baby, which I suppose also symbolizes rebirth. Think again of New Year's, there's the baby New Year, and the hoary old year with the white beard, since we used to think in terms of males only, so hoary old years.
And as a child, I have to tell you, I did not take part in what is now considered to be very much part of Christmas, which is Santa Claus. I'd never heard of Santa Claus. I'd heard of Father Christmas, but you see, I was raised in England where we didn't have saints. So Santa Nicholas was a very foreign item, and I didn't know about Santa Nicholas or Santa Claus. I knew about Father Christmas, kind of, and that, you know, was an invention, really, of the 1800s, which was enshrined in a Christmas carol, Charles Dickens' Christmas carol. We had the spirit of Christmas past and the spirit of Christmas present, and if you've seen the movies or read the books, he's kind of shown as being a jolly old man in red or green robes with beards. Okay. And other things that have joined in the last 150 years, we've added the Christmas tree. Now, most of us know what the Christmas tree is. I wonder how many of us are aware that mistletoe is a much older plant, evergreen, that's been associated with solstice, at least since the time of the Druids, who were pre-Christian in Great Britain. So we've accreted trees, turkeys, hollies and ivy, eating and drinking, presents, and making music. Now, making music is, again, very, very old. And though we have lots of carols about babies and bringing presents to babies, there are a lot of other solstice songs that far predate that time and that have come to us today, which is why we called our program today Wassail. We have them, we call them Wassail songs, and they're still sung in England and probably other parts of Northern Europe. Wassail means be healthy, was to be. It's now an archaic part, and we say was, he was, in the past tense. Well, was, I think, was to be imperative. Hail is part of hail and hearty. Hail and hearty, be healthy. So wassail is a be healthy, have a good new year song. And we have several wassail songs that we're going to be singing today. We're going to play, the band is now going to play another accretion. Beasts that were all around in the stable, that particular thread of the myth. And sing along, page 91 in your song books.
Thank you. didn't know that.
You didn't tell us.
Okay, well, it's okay.
One more. Thomas, I see, was born in 1914, so we're going back about probably 70 years on this, to his childhood. He was born in a part of Britain called Wales, on the sea. I don't know how much of this is real or how much of it is imagination, but it doesn't matter. One Christmas was so much like another. In those years around the sea town corner, now and out of all sound, except the distant speaking of the voices, at times here a moment before sleep, that I can never remember, whether it snowed for 6 days and six nights when I was 12, or whether it snowed for 12 days and 12 nights when I was six. All the Christmases rolled down toward the two-ton sea, like a cold and headlong moon bundling down the sky that was our street. And they stop at the rim of the ice-edge, fish-squeezing waves. And I plunge my hands in the snow and bring out whatever I can find. Giving a bit. Oh, the whole family is in his house. And everybody is giving gifts to each other. There were the useful presents. Engulfing mufflers of the old coach days and mittens made for giant sloths. Zebra scarfs of a substance like silky gum that could be tug-of-war down to the galoshes. Blinding tam-o-shanters like patchwork tea cozies and bunny-suited busbies and balaclavas for victims of head-shrinking tries. From aunts who always wore wool next to the skin, there were mustache and ratchet vests that made you wonder why the ants had any skin left at all. And once I had a little crocheted nose bag from an aunt, now, alas, no longer winning with us. And pictureless books in which small boys, though warned with quotation not to, would skate on Farmer Giles's pond and did and drowned. And books that told me everything about the wasp, except why. And a small voice says, go on to the useless presents. Bags of moist and many-colored jelly babies, and a folded flag and a false nose, and a tram conductor's cap, and a machine that punched tickets and rang a bell. Never a slingshot. Once, by mistake that no one could explain, a little hatchet. And a celluloid duck that made, when you pressed it, a most unduck-like sound. A mewing moo that an ambitious cat might make who wished to be a cow. And a painting book in which I could make the grass, the trees, the sea, and the animals any color I pleased. And still the dazzling sky-blue sheep are grazing in the red field next to the rainbow-billed and pea-green bird. Hard-boils, coffee, fudge and all sorts, crunches, cracknels, humbugs, glaciers, marzipan, and butter-welsh for the Welsh. And troops of bright tin soldiers who, if they could not fight, could always run. Snakes and families and happy ladders, and easy hobby games for little engineers, complete with instructions. Oh, easy for Leonardo. getting a little more. For dinner, we had turkey and blazing pudding, and after dinner, the uncles sat in front of the fire, loosened all buttons, put their large, moist hands over their watch chains, groaned a little, and slept. Mothers, aunts, and sisters scuttled to and fro, bearing tureens. Auntie Bessie, who had already been frightened twice by a clockwork mouse, whimpered at the sideboard and had some elderberry wine. The dog was sick. Auntie Dosie had to have 3 aspirin, but Auntie Hannah, who liked port, stood in the middle of the snowbound backyard, singing like a big thrush. I would blow up balloons to see how big they would blow up to, and when they burst, which they all did, the uncles jumped and rumbled. In the rich and heavy afternoon, the uncles breathing like dolphins and the snow descending, I would sit among the festoons and Chinese lanterns and nibble dates and try to make a model man of war, following the instructions for little engineers, and produce what might be mistaken for a seagoing tram car. Always on Christmas night there was music. An uncle played the fiddle, and cousin sang Cherry Ripe, and another uncle sang Grape Drum. It was very warm in the little house. Auntie Hannah, who had got onto the parsnip wine, sang a song about bleeding hearts and death, and then another in which she said her heart was like a bird's nest. And then everybody laughed again, and then I went to bed. Looking through my bedroom window, out into the moonlight and the unending smoke-colored snow, I could see the lights in the windows of all the other houses on our hill and hear the music rising from them up the long, steadily falling night. I turned the gas down. I got into bed. I said some words to the close and holy darkness, and then I slept. Good choir. Thank you. next one. It's from Somerset, which is in the west of England. It's a wassail song. Everybody's up there wassailing. Chorus goes, for it's your wassail, and it's our wassail, and it's joy be to you and a jolly wassail. Those are the first two and the last time we sing it. The fourth one goes, no harm, boys, harm. No harm, boys, harm, and a drop or two of cider will do us no harm. That's the third one.
Wassail and wassail all over the town. The cup it is wine and the ale it is brown. The cup it is made of the good ashen tea. And so is the malt of the best barley. For it's your wassail, and it's our wassail, and it's joy be to you and a jolly wassail. O master and missus, are you all within? Pray open the door and let us come in. O master and missus, a-sitting by the fire, pray think of the poor travelers a-traveling in the mire. For it's your wassail, and it's our wassail, and it's joy be to you and a jolly wassail. There was an old man, and he had an old cow, and how for to keep her he didn't know how. He built up a barn for to keep his cow warm, and a drop or two of cider will do us no harm. No harm, boys, harm. No harm, boys, harm. And a drop or two of cider will do us no harm.
One of the glories of Christmas, as many of you know, are the carols from many different lands. We're going to be playing for you a carol from Argentina, and it's called The Pilgrimage, or the La Peregrinación, and the words describe Mary and Joseph and the donkey walking through the pampas grasses of Argentina, looking for a place for their child to be born. And the words are, where will we find cover? Where will we find cover from the cold?
We thought of this as being an opportunity for everybody just to sit quietly, listen to music, and think of which of the many traditions for the solstice, for the new year, for Christmas, from the new world or from the old world, really means Christmas to them.
And Rosemary Lester will be joining us on the guitar.
I'd like to mention that many years ago, before Rosemary left us and went to Germany, we were a group called the Martin Buber Trio. She was I, thou, and it.
And I played the accordion at that time. I learned this. Thank you.
Tradition then, and I cannot remember a Christmas during that 16 years when we didn't have our symbol tree. Looks like a Christmas tree to you, you say, but we make it special. Any of you that want and may decorate the tree with something that is special to you, symbolic for you, but something that's happened to you in the past year is going to happen to you, hope? Going to happen to the rest of us? Not going to happen to the rest of us? Your choice. Anybody? Got somebody.
Did you just walk up and talk about it?
Just up and talk about it. Free forum.
Yeah.